just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now. Hey, I wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now.
Develop these bars for the developing stars, whoa. Wrecked by the stars though, but they know just who they are. The knowledge is deep, man, cause college is bleak, man. Knees of the bees, man. Devy happy hour now. I trust him with everything. Every confidence giving me confidence. Sipping is hopping and really no stopping. I'll make you a champion, y'all put a sock in it. But this is life, bro. They're at it all night though. So you can just drive slow and get down with the Devy crew.
I wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now. Hey, I wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you are listening, wherever you are listening. This is episode 59 of the Devy Happy Hour. My name is Skip Newton at SkipNewton31 on Twitter. Excited to be here from Eagan, Minnesota, and I am just going to go right into it. I need to bring on my co-host for today from North Carolina, Matthew Jackson. I call him Obi-Wan. How you doing, big guy?
Doing good, Skip, man. I'm excited to be back here talking some football with you. I got to admit, man, I hope you know how much I like getting on here and talking football with you and doing this podcast, because right now I'm missing a great UNC Carolina Tar Heels football game. I've got it on in the other room, and instead of watching that, I chose to come in here and do this podcast with you, man. So I hope you feel special, and I hope you know that I enjoy doing this.
I really do appreciate that, and in hindsight, what we should have done was podcasted last night during my Gopher game, because I would have very willingly turned that one off to talk to you. I think that would have made my night a lot smoother, a lot less angry and bitter and upset, because right now, the only boat that my Gophers are rowing is the Titanic.
Dude, it's rough. I watched a little bit of them last night, man, and we were talking about it off air. I was like, I feel like they're almost trying to force the ball a little too much to Rashad Bateman, because, you know, when they had Tyler Johnson, with as much crap as everybody gave him over the offseason, like, they weren't as bad when he was on the team. And I don't know what they're doing, but they're such a hard team to watch. It's like they're trying to do too much, and they're just not executing the little things. And it's rough, man. I feel bad for you. It's the Titanic for sure. It's not
good.
Yeah,
it was hard. And, you know, there's a lot going on. I mean, I've seen some tweets, and of course I know as a Gopher fan that they are really struggling defensively. They lost a ton of talent on defense. So that has really set them up, you know, to fail. And I think that adds pressure to the offense. And while, you know, our guy, Mohamed Ibrahim, has absolutely stepped up and had a great season thus far, Tanner Morgan looks just terrible. He's forcing the ball to Bateman. He's just not making good throws and good decisions. And last night was really one of those examples where he clearly was off, and it just got worse as the game went on.
And I don't know what happened. Like, he looked so good last year, and then something happened this season, and he is just not the same quarterback that he was last season, and it's strange.
Yeah, it's a concern. I mean, to the point now where I know people were thinking if he came out, you know, he could even sneak into the end of the first round if he had the same season this year that he had last year and showed that, hey, I'm legit. If this continues, his advice should be, you need to stay in college. You need to play because you're not ready. You can't go pro off a season like that and expect to get drafted in the first round unless the Packers want to take another guy like Jordan Love.
Exactly.
See how I worked in a shot at Green Bay? That's what I'm here for.
if anything, you're going to get your shot in the Green Bay.
I got to do something, man. I got to do something. So it's funny how you mentioned that you're skipping the North Carolina game. As I was prepping, you know, to watch the show, and we're going to talk about running backs a lot today, I decided, hey, this is the first time we've recorded when there's an actual live game on, so I'm going to just have my TV on mute and kind of have it there. I'm risking that because I'm one of those people that gets easily distracted. You know, it's like squirrel. you know, like the dog. And but I thought, oh, I'm going to put on this game. There's good running backs at North Carolina, one of which we're going to talk about today. Wake Forest has that Kenneth Walker. You know, it'd be a great game to turn on. And, of course, I turned it on. Both quarterbacks are absolutely lighting it up, and the running backs aren't doing anything at all. So that go figures, right?
Man, I don't know. Javonte Williams has had some nice runs. But, yeah, I mean, the little bit of the game that I got to watch before we came in here and did this, man, Sam Howell looks absolutely on point. Sam Hartman is bringing it back on the other side. He looks good. And that is an offensive showcase. There was no defense going on in this game right now. And, you know, I got a shout out to you, man. You called it during the offseason, I think, you know, talking about Donovan Green for Wake Forest. And he's having himself quite a game. He's had at least one big catch that I just tweeted out earlier. And he's got himself a touchdown. And he's having himself a game today. And he's had himself a season so far. So good call on that one, man.
Yeah, he was one of my darlings, one of my sleepers that I really like coming in. So it's good to see him stepping up. Before we get to the news, I do have to ask you: are you watching The Mandalorian? Of course, the new Star Wars series that's in season 2.
So I got to be honest, man. You know how we went on that trip to the mountains for our anniversary? That was the first time that I turned on and watched The Mandalorian, just because my brother-in-law was catching up on a new episode. I feel so bad because that's been a show, right, that I really want to watch, but I just haven't had the time to turn it on yet between watching football during the week, missing games I caught up on, and then doing schoolwork. Like, I haven't had a chance to turn it on, so I need to get caught up, because that one episode I watched, I mean, I know I joined late, but it was a really good episode. I want to watch. I just haven't had time yet.
Yeah, I really like where the series is going, and I'm not going to do any spoilers or anything, but for those of you that are big Star Wars fans out there, it's starting to tie into older things. You know, they're bringing back characters that you're going to recognize, you know, little hints of that, which I really like, but they're actually bringing back characters from the animated series. So the most recent episode brings back a character from the Clone Wars, and they could get into some from Star Wars Rebels. And as a major Star Wars junkie, I've watched both of those animated series already, and now I'm rewatching the Rebels. So it's kind of fascinating to see how they're getting into those old stories, because the Clone Wars especially talked a lot about Mandalorians, and so did Rebels. So interesting stuff.
I got to ask a question, and if it's a spoiler, you don't have to tell me. But the Baby Yoda thing, is it actually Baby Yoda, or is it just a creature that looks like Yoda?
It is not. Actual Yoda.
That's really disappointing.
Yeah, this takes place after Yoda dies. So unless it's Yoda reincarnate, which I'm sure it's not, right? It's I think it's just the same species. So that's
really unfortunate. That makes me sad a little bit. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, I know, but man, I just love it. Anyway, getting into the news, of course, you know, the COVID is going crazy everywhere, which means more games getting canceled. Just tons of them being either postponed or canceled, which obviously was our worst fear other than no season at all. So where are you at with how things are going in this stance? Do you think they're going to be able to finish out the season the way things are right now, or do you think this is going to come to an ugly end quickly?
I'm going to be honest, man. I'm a little frightened from the way this season's going to play out. You know, we sent some text messages back and forth this morning. We were talking about it, and with all the games that are getting canceled, especially this week and leading up to this week, it's got me a little nervous about the state of college football for the near future. You know, a lot of schools are starting to test positive for COVID, and games are starting to get canceled, and I'm a little worried about what college football holds. I think it's possible that we could see college football end a little early, as sad and upset as that makes me. But on the flip side of that, right, we did get college football this season, so I can't be too upset because we did get to watch a little bit of college football. I'm glad that we got to watch what we got, and it was more than I ever anticipated. But yeah, I'm definitely a little nervous about the upcoming weeks, and, you know, I somehow feel like I have to blame Notre Dame for this, because this crap didn't start until Notre Dame beat Clemson and stormed the football field.
What?
And now all these games have been canceled. And I know it's not Notre Dame's fault, but freaking blame Notre Dame, man. I'm telling you.
I thought Notre Dame was a tough school to get into, and that, you know, it was known not just for its athletics, but its academics, and people were really smart and getting an education there. But wow, was that just a amazingly stupid.
You were you were a top three ranked team. Why'd you storm the field for? You've been there before.
And there's that. Yeah, yeah. That's a great point. Like, hey, you're not, you know, unranked and sitting there with a sub 500 record, and you just had the greatest upset to, you know, win your only big game of the season. It's like you're a good team. Come on.
And part of the problem was, like, I don't know if you've noticed, but there were tons of student fans in that section just not wearing masks during the game period. Like,
yeah,
part of the problem. That's what makes me nervous about college football more than anything is some schools just don't care, right?
Yeah, we don't want to get into this too badly, but that's right. I mean, the states are all handling it differently, and it's, you know, Shaq warned us of this, you know, before the season, and basically said, you know, these college kids are not going to be super careful and smart when they make decisions about how they socialize. And what's proven with this second, you know, massive uptick in outbreak is it's the social activities that people are going through that's causing this. It's not, you know, it's not work related. It's not even youth sports have proven to be successful. It's, you know, school is fine, going to school. It's the people that are doing things outside. And I mean, there's a part of you that gets it, right? We're human beings, and we're sick of being cooped up, and we just want to do things with other human beings. We want to be social. But, man, it is causing some issues. So hopefully that as a country we can get this figured out and get some semblance of normalcy back eventually, at least in a safer manner. Other more specific news, wide receiver Tamorian Terry has opted out. He ended his season and is going pro. It was a, I think, safe to say, disappointing season. We, at least I, expected a huge breakout, even though last year he had a really good season. I think last year was his first breakout season. But I thought he was going to pick up where he left off and was really excited to see how the tall, fast, you know, skinny guy that makes big plays could maybe develop into a more all-around wide receiver because of the extra size he put on. But he just had some nagging injuries that kept him from really having, you know, more than one or two really good games. And I think, you know, there might be some stuff going on behind the scenes there, but I think part of it is, you know what, if I'm going to keep having these nagging injuries, the team's going nowhere. What am I doing? I know I'm going pro. All I'm doing now is putting myself at risk. I might as well just opt out and get healthy and train on my own. What do you think of that?
He had injury issues, but let's be flat out honest. He wasn't playing the best either. I mean, part of that is his QB play. Okay, we can credit that to the offense and the coaching staff. Like, they weren't a good team. But let's not sit here and pretend like he didn't have some drop issues on tape and he was playing the best game anyway. Like, I'm sitting here and I don't understand this decision for Tamorian Terry at all. Like, I'm going to be flat out honest with you. Like, he wasn't having the best season. He had drop issues. You know, I said it a couple weeks ago where I credit somebody, you know, you look at him, he's a big receiver, he's fast, but he has drop issues, a la Hakeem Butler. Like, I've already made that comparison, and their games mimic each other a whole lot. Like, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, you know, is it that far of a stretch that Tamorian Terry has basically sealed his fate that he's a day three guy at best? And how well do those wide receivers end up turning out in the NFL? Like, it's been proven that after about round four, your chances of being a productive player in the NFL drops drastically.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, you want to see day one or day two draft stock, and we'll get into this in future episodes when we really kind of go into our final, you know, tiered rankings of all the positions, you know, both for the 2021 class and then just as a whole. But yeah, I'm nervous. I think, you know, I think all can be forgotten with a great showing at the combine. I mean, that makes a huge difference. We've seen wide receivers, you know, go to the combine and have this awesome showing, and then all of a sudden they become, you know, the first guy taken or first round picks when they weren't, you know, necessarily projected to go there based on production. So, you know, a lot can change, but it was, yeah, I think we share the same sentiment. It's a disappointing, you know, final season for him, but I'm not surprised he made the decision that he made.
I mean, you're big and you're fast, which is great. Like, teams love that, but your number one responsibility is to catch the ball. And he showed some red flags on his tape this season where that's going to be a concern for NFL GMs.
Yes, catching the ball is a skill that I like to have in my wide receivers. I'm kind of funny that way, but I would agree with Dale on that. And then the final news, which is going to lead right into our main topic about running back today, is absolutely heartbreaking, and that no pun intended. Running back Journey Brown has retired from football due to his heart-related condition. And this is obviously just, I can't imagine how devastating this would be for him to know that he's coming into this season with an opportunity to pick up where he left off, and he left off absolutely on fire last year, and really could turn himself into a for sure day two pick, if not a round two, who knows, maybe sneak into round one. You never know on these guys. And then all of a sudden his career's over before it even started. It's got to be just awful. Hopefully the guy can figure out, some way to stay in the game if he wants to. I mean, coaching, who knows, right? But that's devastating.
I hurt for Journey Brown, man. Just outside the game of football, you read stories about Journey Brown, and the number one thing that you hear about him is his work ethic, his attitude on the football field. He was just a great guy to be around, and you want one of those guys in your locker room. So outside of even the game of football, he was just a good person. So you hate this to happen to him. You hate it because he was going to come in, and we all were anticipating this just massive season where you're absolutely right, he's a day two guy, possibly sneaks into round one. And he's going to fulfill all his dreams of being a pro football player, right? So I hate it. I hate it in that aspect. I hate it a little selfishly because, if you're like me, you invested so much in Journey Brown and now you got some work to figure out. So, I mean, I hate it for him as a person. I hate it for him as a football move. I mean, I was sitting here watching some Penn State game earlier this afternoon before we did this podcast, and that was one of the things that I tweeted out was I'm just overly unimpressed with the Penn State running back room right now. With Journey Brown going down, Noah Cain's hurt. I mean, this running back room that they have right now is just vastly underwhelming. And you can definitely tell the difference when he's not out on the field. So you're absolutely right. I hope he finds something he can do, maybe coaching somewhere. But overall, I just hope he finds something that makes him happy because I generally do think he's a great person.
Great points, and let's at least look at the one positive out of this, in that they caught this now. They learned about his condition, and he was able to make this decision while he's relatively healthy, not the other end of the spectrum, which is something absolutely horrific happens, and it causes a serious problem for him, maybe even, death because he keeps playing football. I mean, that's the reality of it is, if he's that kind of player in the locker room and that kind of guy to be around, he probably has that positive attitude about it too. Like, hey, this is upsetting. It's a bummer. My dream is over. But in the same regard,
this goes beyond football. Like,
I'm alive, and I'll figure something out because I'm that kind of guy. So, that's what I'm saying. If he can get into something else that's football related, I think he could still realize part of that dream. But at the same time, do it in a manner that doesn't put his life at risk. So we are going to shift from our normal mode of in-season podcast and just specifically focus on running backs today because we're getting closer to the end and you can get a pretty good feel on running backs now that the season started. So we wanted to get into each of our kind of top 10, and we've done them by tiers. And what I want to do is to have you start with your tier one, and then I'll jump in with my tier one, and we can kind of go back and forth and just see how this plays out. So I don't think this is going to be a surprise to anybody, but who do you have at the top in your tier one?
So tier one for me consists of two guys in college football and only two guys in college football. Like there's no one outside of these two guys that can make a case for being a tier one running back right now. And that's Alabama's Najee Harris and Clemson's Travis Etienne. I mean, those are the two clear-cut guys in college football right now, and there's nobody relatively close to them. These are guys that could potentially go round one, but they're definitely round two guys, if not. You know, Najee Harris is your complete back. He is amazing in the passing game. He's great between the tackles. He's a strong, powerful back. He's got the speed. He's everything that you want in a back. And Travis Etienne, you already know how explosive and speedy he is in the running game, and he's made strides every single year to up his passing game usage. These are two guys that I don't see changing. I don't see anybody really sneaking into my tier one outside of these two guys. I mean, the talent level between these two guys and everyone else, it drops off for me. And I'm pretty sure that's how you feel and how a lot of people feel.
Absolutely. I mean, we see this, you know, exactly the same. You know, the one thing I think that people like to dispute is who is the number one, you know, versus who is the, you know, the number two when you're talking about each guy. And that's open for debate. If somebody comes to me and says Travis Etienne is absolutely the 101 of running backs and Najee Harris is number two, I'm not gonna say you're wrong. No, that's not true. I'm just gonna say I happen to prefer Harris just a little bit. However, I love them both, which is why they're both in the same tier. And that's why, you know, people out there, if you're doing your own rankings, you really need to do tiered rankings, because that makes a huge difference when you're making decisions on who to pick. And I honestly think ETN will probably be the first guy taken in the draft. I think his speed is going to attract a team that needs a running back, and that they want the home run ability. The fact that he's improved his pass catching, and he is a threat out of the backfield. Now, Najee Harris absolutely is as well. Najee Harris is a very underrated pass catcher, but I could see Etienne going first, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be the best fantasy running back in the NFL. I just prefer Harris's style more. He is a year older, but I'm willing to take that. And if I had to choose, I'm going to take Harris over Etienne right now. Of course, who knows what's going to happen where these guys fall. That'll change everything potentially.
I mean, let's be honest. You're splitting hairs between the two of them. Like, if you end up either one of these guys in your draft, you're doing victory laps around your neighborhood. Like, it doesn't matter which one of these guys you pick, you're getting a stud.
Yeah, I had two C2C startups, my last two, and I ended up with Harris in the first round in both of them, and I couldn't have been more pleased. So very happy to have him in leagues. Now things are going to get a little more interesting as we move into tier two. Who do you have in your tier two of running backs?
So first off, in my tier two, rounding out the list, I got Breece Hall from Iowa State, 2022 back. In my opinion, he's the best back in this 2022 class, and it's not particularly close. Like, there's no one that I feel like can touch him. He does everything at a phenomenal level. Like, I love watching his game. He's another guy that's super quick. He's got some elusiveness and some wiggle to his game that you like. So definitely somebody that I'm really high and ecstatic about. Skip, let's just go ahead and throw this out there, okay? Next guy, I got to clear the air. I got to go ahead and do it, and I know you're going to laugh at me. But Tank Bigsby, Auburn 2023 running back. We all know how much I love Tank Bigsby, and that's not going to change, right? He's a tier two guy for me. He's the best freshman running back in this class, and he's easily my RB4 in all of Debbie right now. Like, he breaks tackles at a phenomenal rate. He is getting some more exposure in the receiving game, and he could easily turn into that. You know, we talked about how Felix Sharp gave him the Ezekiel Elliott comp, and I see that all over his game. He's the best pure running back, or one of the best pure running backs in all of college football right now. I love Tank Bigsby. You know I love Tank Bigsby. All of Twitterverse knows how much I love Tank Bigsby. So we all know he was going to be hopping my rankings. So
yeah, he's been your guy for a long time, and I promise, listeners, I did not create the topic for today just so Matt could talk more about Tank Bigsby. That had nothing to do with it, even though I'm sure he loved the topic when I threw it out there.
See, the funny thing is, though, whatever show we talk about, I somehow always end up talking about Tank Bigsby. So
you're good like that. That's okay. That's
you know, I've got to work him in. Like, that's that's part of my persona now, I guess. So moving on, I've got Isaiah Spiller, Texas A&M running back in this field. And I've also got Chuba Hubbard from Oklahoma State. Now Hubbard is somebody that I've moved down my ranks quite a bit. We talked about it last week. I don't think he's having a phenomenal season by any stretch of the imagination. He's not explosive to me. He's not as quick as he looked last season. He's not the home run hitter that he looked last season. But he's still a tier two back for me. Like, I'm not going to drop him to tier three just because he's having a bad season. Now, he did drop in my rank some, but he's still a great back and somebody that, you know, at this point, you've got to draft if he ends up slipping this far.
Yeah, we've talked about Chuba a lot. I also have him at the bottom of my tier two because, you know, the concerns we brought up with his lack of vision and his inability to make something happen when the hole isn't right in front of him. The breakaway speed is indisputable. I mean, you got to love that. So he has the big play ability. And, hey, in the right system in the NFL, he could be very successful. But I just, again, I never end up with him because his draft stock, you know, when I'm doing drafts, his ADP is too high for my liking. There's always other guys I like better. So, yep, I'm similar in tier two in a couple of these regards. I also have Breece Hall at the top of tier two. I agree with you right now. He is, in my opinion, the clear number one back of the 2022 class, which so far positions him well for draft stock if he continues to play at the rate he's playing. I mean, he's having a great season, so he's absolutely picked up where he left off from a year ago.
You know, just go back before I forget about Chuba Hubbard. We were talking about him. I threw out a poll on Twitter earlier this week, and there's one player in college football. I'm just going to give you the stats. He has 125 attempts for 581 yards and 5 touchdowns, good for a 4.6 yards per carry. Player B has 107 attempts for 767 yards and 14 touchdowns, good for 7.2 yards per carry. The difference between these two players and Devy's startup ADP is 56 positions. And
so I saw that, and I never saw who the actual players were. So who are they?
So player A with the far less exciting stats is Chuba Hubbard, who we recently talked about. Player B is somebody we're going to talk about pretty soon in UNC's Javonte Williams.
How about that? How about that? And he is a absolutely huge riser in people's draft positions and rankings this year. I mean, that across the board, everybody's talking about him. We'll get to him in a little bit. We've talked about him in the past. I wrote an article at the Dynasty Draft Room on him and his teammate Carter. So yeah, it's absolutely a good comp there. I love those comps, and they're really hard to nail the player in college because the NFL is a little bit easier. You just have fewer guys to think about, but that was awesome. Rounding out my tier two, besides Breece Hall and Chuba Hubbard, is Kenneth Gainwell. And we unfortunately didn't get to see him this year because he opted out. And while there might be concerns about size, he's coming in 5'11", which is fine, but, you know, 191, so under 200 pounds. Obviously, he can put on a little bit more weight, but the production is real. And when you get over 2,000 total yards and you've proven you can catch the ball and you're explosive and can make plays, 16 touchdowns combined, you just can't ignore that. And I like how the NFL is transitioning into guys like this and making them fantasy relevant. They're finding ways to get them the ball. I mean, you just don't see as many teams that go with the one true workhorse back anymore. I mean, obviously my Vikings are doing that with Dalvin Cook, you know, which may or may not lead to the fact that he has never played a season where he's played all 16 games. But you've got Tennessee with Derrick Henry, and you know, Dallas usually with Elliott. But those examples are the exception to the rule. A lot of these teams love to mix in, you know, not necessarily a 50-50 split, but a 60-40. And if you've got a 40% guy in the right system, he can absolutely be a fantasy relevant, you know, running back for you. And you can play him in your lineups, you know, as a flex on a weekly basis. So that's why I like Kenneth Gainwell. I just think he has those abilities to make plays And I think he's going to get drafted higher than some people expect because of his absolutely big play potential. And he's just so shifty and explosive. And that, you know, I've been no hider of the fact that I like those kind of running backs, which, you know, I'll get into more of that in a little bit with another guy, but yeah, he's in my tier two.
Yeah. He just missed my tier two. We're going to talk about him in a second. He's in my tier three right now, but I mean, he just missed it. And part of that might be recency bias. You know, we didn't get a chance to see him this year. I'm a little worried about him being part of a committee, and you know, depending on where he gets drafted, that could either be really good for his game or really bad for his game. So there's that aspect in that where I couldn't quite put him in the tier two, but yeah, he's a fantastic running back. So credit to him.
Yep, absolutely. So you know, we got into getting into tier three here. Talked about Gainwell, you've got at the top. Who do you have finishing out your tier three running backs?
So I got to admit, this is where it gets a little hard for me. You know, tier one and tier two, there's a clear, these guys belong here. When I get to tier three, there's a lot of guys in that mix that could be tier three, could be tier four, and you can make an argument for either any one of these guys to be up there. So here's where it gets a little murky for me. You know, I talked about Kenneth Gainwell. I've got him up there. I've got your guy, Skip, and Jahmyr Gibbs. I love him for that Alvin Kamara role. We've already talked about that. He's lightning fast. He is shifty in open space. He's the best pass catching back in this freshman class. And he will absolutely make you miss on your tackles in open space. Like, trying to tackle him in open space is a problem. So I like him. If Georgia Tech can just use him more and start giving him the ball the way they should, he's going to creep up in my rankings. I can see it coming. We talked about UNC's Javonte Williams. He's up there for me. He's been a riser for me. The more I've watched his game, you know, I said a few weeks ago how I prefer Michael Carter, and the more I watch Javonte Williams, you know, Skip, I'm starting to jump on your bandwagon a little bit. You know, when you watch Javonte Williams, he breaks tackles constantly. Like, there's not a point that I've seen him, you know, touch the ball where he's not breaking two or three tackles on a way to a 10 or 11 yard gain. I mean, this kid is just so hard to bring down. He's doing a little better at catching the ball now. And, you know, some people even have him as the RB3 this year. And, you know, I'm sitting here and I can't argue with that. Like, if you feel like Javonte Williams is your RB3, you can kind of see it on tape. Like, he's a great running back. So,
yeah, when you talk about, and you specifically when you narrow it down to the 2021 class, like we said, the tier one, the first two guys are clear, and they're pretty much everybody's first two guys. After that, there's a whole lot of gray area in there, and you can make arguments for a lot of these guys that we've talked about. And if someone's making the argument like you're suggesting that Javonte Williams is the third best running back in the 2021 class, I'm going to listen, and I'm going to be probably nodding my head on a lot of the points that they're making, because you can't ignore the talent of a guy that just constantly breaks tackles and gets yards after contact. I mean, those are traits that absolutely transition to the next level, and he's making a name for himself. And the best part is he's not even doing it. You know, it's not like he's getting 30-40 carries a game like, you know, Ibrahim from the Gophers. I mean, he's splitting time almost 50-50 with Carter, and he's still putting out these great, great stats. I mean, that absolutely is
I mean, we just talked worthy. About it, right? When you got Chuba Hubbard, we just talked about he's got 5.2 yards per carry, and he's got less yardage on more carries than Javonte Williams. Like, in a blind test, in a blind pick, you got these two player stats and game film in front of you. I don't know about you, but I'm taking Javonte Williams a lot more often than I might be taking Chuba Hubbard, just because of what I've seen this year. Like, he's having a better season than Chuba Hubbard is, in my personal opinion.
So it sounds like, based on this conversation, that we both should have Javonte Williams in tier two above Chuba Hubbard. I feel like we both like him better, or is that just because of the ADP?
Part of that might be ADP. I'm not gonna sit here and lie to you, man. Like, I feel, you know, rankings is hard for Chuba Hubbard. I learned this last week when I was sitting down for Dynasty Nerds and doing my rankings. I kept dropping Chuba Hubbard further and further down my rankings. And there got to a point where I was sitting there. I was like, I can't do it anymore. Like, I've got to leave him where he's at. Like, I hate the game film that I've seen this season. And he's not as explosive as some of these other guys that I've got ranked below him. But I feel like for namesake purposes, he can't fall below a certain line, and that may or may not be wrong, right?
Right. Well, and the thing with Williams is, my guess is in most Devy leagues, he's probably undrafted. He's not on a roster because he was not a top guy last year. So unless you're in really deep leagues or obviously a C2C league, he's sitting out there as a guy that you can, you know, if you have separate rookie and Devy drafts, he's going to be near the top of your rookie draft. You know, like this year with Joe Burrow and Justin Jefferson, you know, because those, you know, and obviously Clyde Edwards-Helaire, they all came out of nowhere last year and they became, you know, your top picks in a rookie draft, again, if they were separate. Where Javonte Williams, I mean, he's going to be up there because Javonte, he's coming out of nowhere and all of a sudden people are realizing just how good this guy is, and he wasn't drafted before.
You know a guy who just did that last season who came out of nowhere and is now going high in drafts? His name is Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and which running back in the 2020 draft was the highest drafted running back?
Yeah,
it was Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So,
right.
You know,
he's available in all the leagues, and then he's the first running back taken in a deep running back class of the, you know, the 2020 rookies for the NFL.
And I just said, right, they have a difference of 56 in startup ADP right now. You could, if you are the Chuba Hubbard owner, you can legitimately trade him for Javonte Williams and get a haul back in return. And I'm doing that every single time, personally.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, if you're sitting there with Hubbard and you can get, you know, Javonte plus, why not? I mean, make that move, absolutely. So who's your last guy in this tier three?
So this last guy was a mix between a lot of guys. I had to go back and forth between about three or four guys here, but I finally ended up on Georgia's Zamir White. You know, he was somebody coming to the season who nobody was really high on. He had two ACL tears. Everybody was worried about if he could be explosive, if he could, how those legs would handle with a heavy starting workload. And what we've learned so far is he's just fine, right? He looks great in the running game. He's somebody else that, he's not going to beat you with just sheer speed, but he's going to bulldoze through you. And, you know, Zamir White has definitely had himself a season. I think he's going to make himself some money come NFL draft time. Hopefully he ends up going out. I don't see a way that he doesn't go out for the NFL draft this year after having two ACL tears. Like, I feel like he's going to make his money now before it's too late. So I've got him up there. I've got a few guys that just nearly missed out because of that. We'll talk about later, but... Yep, Zamir White rounds out my list there for sure.
Yeah, so this is the first guy that you've mentioned that I don't have, you know, in my top 10. He didn't make my list, and you hit on the reason. It's the ACLs. I just can't take him where he's going in drafts because of that. I'm concerned about that long term. You know, we've seen that while a running back can definitely come back from ACLs, a lot of times there's other issues that come up, you know, after the fact that cause problems. And I guess there's just so many running backs to choose from that I'm willing to take an L if he ends up going to the NFL and being a stud. I'll just say, you know what, I didn't want the risk, so I'm willing to accept the fact that he's not in any of my rosters, and I'm fine with that. My tier three has just one guy that we haven't talked about before, so I'll leave him for last. But I have Javonte Williams in there as well. I've got your guy, Tank Bigsby. I mean, absolute stud freshman.
Dude, put him in tier two. It's disrespectful.
And then yeah, my guy, slightly ahead of him, Jahmyr Gibbs, another stud freshman. My reasoning why these two guys are in my tier three is just because they're freshmen. And this kind of gets to it definitely gets to points that I've made in previous podcasts, but it kind of gets to the whole Journey Brown conversation in that the farther away you are from actually playing in the NFL, the more risk there is when you have a guy on your Devy roster of something going wrong. And obviously Journey Brown is the absolute far end of the spectrum. I mean, nobody sees this coming. This is a significantly obscure reason to not end up, you know, a good asset to have on your NFL team. But it does speak to the point that, man, things happen, you know, and while, you know, if I'm just ranking, you know, if all these guys are in the same draft class, then Jahmyr Gibbs and Tank Bigsby are tier one. I mean, that's the talent level, in my opinion. They look that good. But right now I got to keep them down there. But, man, getting to Gibbs, like I said, I'm sticking with the comp to Kamara. I just love his game. I think you get him in the right offense with the right system, and he is going to be that guy that can catch, you know, 70 passes and be explosive in the open field, but also he can carry the ball on first and second down. I mean, doesn't mean he's going to be a, you know, 400 touch guy, because that's a great way to end a guy's career soon, unless you're, you know, Derrick Henry and you weigh 250 pounds. But I love Gibbs that much.
Well, that's a great point you made. Just because the fact that he is such a great pass catching running back, you're extending his lifespan longer than a lot of these other guys that are taking, you know, 30 hits a game because they're toting the rock 300 times a season. Like, that Jahmyr Gibbs isn't that guy that's gonna rush the ball 300 times in a season, but you're gonna extend his lifespan because he's not taking as many hits as he would be if he was one of those guys.
Yeah, and those analytics guys have come out and they've proven that running backs who catch passes are way more efficient and effective than running backs who don't. I mean, that's the only reason Derrick Henry isn't the 101 of running backs every year, is that for some reason they don't throw him the ball, even though when they do, he's very good at it. I mean, he turns in these big, huge passing plays, and it's so frustrating to watch. It's like, why are you throwing him the ball? Because you get him in space and he's so dangerous. It leads to you know, the other thing you just said with, you know, my guy, the Vikings, Dalvin Cook. I mean, they continue to run him a ton, which obviously, as a huge Dalvin Cook fan, I love, because the guy is elite. I mean, the only thing that holds him back from being the best running back in football is the injuries and the way they use him. Because I don't know why they don't throw him the ball more. I mean, they'll give him a couple passes a game, and he absolutely makes big plays, or is a threat to make a big play every time, because now he's out in space. But they just haven't adjusted their offense that way. It's very frustrating as a Vikings fan when the running game isn't working the way it has the last couple games. And, you know, we just watch Monday night, they're playing the Bears, much better run defense. You see how many times they run him up the middle or constantly pounding into a line where the holes aren't there, instead of trying to throw him the ball to see if they can, you know, mix things up against that defense.
Yeah, gotta hit that, man. You can't pound where there's no holes.
Yeah, exactly. And then I also have Isaiah Spiller here. I love Isaiah Spiller quite a bit. He's one of those top backs in that next class, that 2022. In fact, you know, only the second one that we talked about. Definitely a slightly down year for running backs, I think, you know, in 2022. But he's got a lot of potential. I really like his speed, his contact balance. He can make good cuts. He can catch the ball. I mean, caught 29 passes last year as a freshman. So just a huge fan of him. And he's got the size. I mean, 6'1", 220. So Spiller is one of those guys that you shouldn't sleep on, for sure. And then my one guy that I have that you didn't mention is Kylan Hill from Mississippi State. He's a compact, quick, shifty guy. Of course, he's already opted out as well, but, you know, had over 1,300 yards last year rushing and another, you know, 180 yards receiving. And this kid can make people miss. He's quick. He's shifty. Talked about how much I like that. But he's also compact. I mean, he, you know, 5'11", 212. So he's not a skinny dude where he's that short little guy that can't take the pounding. I think Kylan Hill is one of those sleeper guys that could, you know, he's going to go, I think, on day two. And it just again, it's a matter of where, and does that present the opportunity that he needs to show his skills and make a difference on your fantasy rosters.
The only reason that Kylan Hill is not in my top tier three right now is because I told you last week I'm dropping all of that Mississippi State offense as a whole. I just feel like every time I turn on a Mississippi State game, I'm left utterly disappointed, and I feel like Kylan Hill is suffering in my rankings because of it. Like,
that could be. And maybe that's kind of like the Tamorian Terry decision, right? It's like, okay, this is not helping my draft stock at all. I'm done. I'm out. You know, he had the one good game right away, and then it's like, all right, I'm not taking my chances. You know, who knows? There's so many different reasons, especially this year, why guys can decide not to play. So let's just quickly talk about, you know, finishing up the running back guys on our list. About the guys that just missed your top three tiers. Who do you have there? I know we've mentioned at least one of them, but who are the rest of the guys kind of that you want people to keep their eyes on and should definitely be looking at in their deeper drafts?
So Colin Hill, we've already talked about. I've also got Jerrion Ealy on there, the Ole Miss running back. Love his game a whole lot. He's a phenomenal pass catching back. And he's absolutely exploding this season. If it weren't for Zamir White being in my top 10, Jerrion Ealy was the guy that I was debating putting up there. So I love Jerrion Ealy a whole lot. Just because he just missed doesn't mean he's a guy that you shouldn't go out there and try and draft. He's going to be a stud. I've got Max Borgi in there. You know, we poo-poo on Max Borgi every single week, and this week's not going to be any different. You know, we didn't get a chance to see him last week. He didn't play last week. You know, we've talked about how phenomenal, in air quotes, a pass catcher he is. He needs to improve his yards per catch and yards after the catch ability. He needs to be used more in the running game. If he does that this season and he looks good doing it, I'll move him up in our rankings. But as of right now, he's just missing out because of that. I like Bijan Robinson. He's in my just missed. The only reason he's just missed is because of Keyonte Ingram and that coaching staff. You know, we haven't seen enough of Bijan Robinson as of right now for me to be confident putting him in my conversation with those other guys. I need to see more of him. He's got phenomenal potential, and he looks good when he touches the ball, but I just need to see more of it.
I think with Bijan, you've hit the nail right on the head. I mean, he absolutely has all the talent that you want in a running back. It's just a matter of opportunity and the offensive scheme, because for some reason they just are infatuated with passing the ball, and maybe they feel they need to win these games. But yeah, you make him a 20 touch guy, and he's going to go right up there with I think Bigsby and Gibbs for sure.
He's got the ability to break a game open. They just, for some reason, don't give him the ball. You know, when Sam Ellinger is running the ball 15 times a game, that doesn't leave a lot of opportunities for Bijan Robinson.
Right. And he's flashed, right? We've seen plays where it's like, okay, there it is. He has talent. We got to love this guy. So, yeah, who's your last couple?
So I got Eric Gray. He's another one of those pass-catching guys that you like. He's moving up in my rankings a whole lot. And I've also got Jahmyr Jefferson. The only reason he's not up there is because of injury, you know, like we talked about with Zamir White for you. Jahmyr Jefferson is one of those guys for me. I feel like this season he's going to absolutely explode. He looked awesome last week. You know, he had 100 yards and two or three touchdowns, and he looked great. But I feel like he's not getting a lot of exposure just because of the times he plays his game. But he's somebody that you need to keep an eye on, because I'm telling you, the price is going to get expensive real fast if you don't go out there and get a share of him, because I can just feel an explosive season coming for Jefferson. So keep an eye on him.
Yep, I've got him as well. I think he's going to move up people's rankings by the end of the season. Of course, you know, we talked about recency bias. We talked out of sight, out of mind. Well, the Pac-12 just started, so people haven't been watching him. So you kind of lose sight of just how good this kid is, especially coming off an injury. Yeah, absolutely. He can be the guy that finds himself up in a higher tier in a day two pick. I did not have Jerrion Ealy in my just missed category, but I think that's one of those deals where I just need to see him more, because I did like what little I have watched from him. So yeah, I gotta look at that, and I want to see what more he can do. Also have Bijan Robinson. We talked about him. I also have Eric Gray. I like him, you know, being one of those top guys in the 2022 class. So glad you had him there. And then I've got two guys that you didn't put on there. One, and I know we've talked about him with Shaq in previous podcasts, is CJ Verdell from Oregon. And he's kind of the stereotypical, I'm gonna be the big play home run dude and have these awesome games, or I'm gonna disappear and give you nothing. And
he's a wild card, right? He's the wild card of this entire group that we've talked about tonight. He will be, if he can come out and have a consistent performance and put on just a consistent season and do it week in and week out, he's easily a top 10 guy for everybody, I think. But the fact that he's so inconsistent between having, you know, 150-yard rushing games and 30-yard rushing games, he's not in my top 10 strictly because of that.
Yep. Yeah, and he's had two seasons that looked good overall when you just look at that, right? I mean, two consecutive 1,000-yard seasons, scored, you know, 10 and 8 touchdowns rushing respectively, and he proved a couple years ago with 27 catches he can catch the ball. It's just a matter of, yeah, putting it all together in a more consistent basis. And then the last guy, I'm a little surprised and trying not to be offended that you didn't mention this guy, and that's Minnesota Golden Gopher Mohamed Ibrahim. I mean, talk about a guy that has absolutely exploded this season now that he is the primary back. He's coming off, not including last night's loss against Iowa, but coming off two consecutive 200-yard, four-touchdown games. And that kind of production, granted, he's getting the rock a lot, but that also proves he can handle the beating, right? I mean, he can take a pounding, and he delivers it out as well. He's quick enough to get to that second level. He's not going to go, you know, 70 yards, right? He's not Chuba Hubbard speed, right? Not C.J. Verdell speed, that kind of thing. But he's more the comp for me is kind of like that Javonte Williams type runner where, hey, you come at me to tackle me, and I'm going to hit you just as hard as you're going to try to hit me. And I'm going to break tackles and get yards after contact. And I think if he continues this season the way things are going, he's going to sneak into day two, and he could be a third-round pick. And we're going to end this with the teams that I identified that could be looking for even an RB1 in the draft, just to give an idea, I think, of people. And obviously a lot of that changes with free agency, but just to give an idea of what teams are out there, because there's more than you'd think. And what do you, you know, tell me why you don't have Ibrahim in your top three tiers. Or even on your just missed list.
So part of that is I had to let you talk about your guy, Mohamed Ibrahim. I wasn't going to take that from you. You know, when you look at Ibrahim, I love his game. And I talked about it last week. Like, the more I watch him, the more fascinated I'm getting with his game. He's, by definition, a bruiser back. And I like that a whole lot. But a lot of these guys in my list that I've talked about are pass-catching running backs. And I just haven't seen that with Ibrahim thus far. You know, he's great. He's going to touch the ball. He's going to tote the rock 30 times a game and get you those chunk play yardages. He's a hard guy to bring down. But he's not catching the ball as much as I like to see him. And for a strictly fantasy football purpose, I prefer the guys that are going to catch the ball, because they're going to get you your bigger games more often than, you know, for what it takes for them to have a big game. Ibrahim's got to put up a 150-yard rushing game and one or two touchdowns to get the difference in having those five catches for 50 yards or something like that.
Yeah, the pass catchers absolutely have a higher floor. I mean, it's just safer, because even if they give you a stinker running the ball, or they get, you know, 40, 50 yards, if you get another 40 to 50 yards of receiving with four or five catches, that gives you the stats that you're looking for, even in a you know, bad game, as I'm using air quotes. And that's a fair thing to say about Ibrahim. I think part of that is, for some reason, throwing the ball to running backs is just not in the Gophers' offensive scheme. I mean, I've never seen that under Fleck. So
as of last night, throwing the ball to anybody that's not named Rashad Bateman isn't in the offensive scheme.
Then there's that, right? I mean, let's be honest. Right now, the offensive scheme is first down, run to Ibrahim, regardless of how many yards he gets. Let's run it again on second down, and then on third and whatever, we're going to throw the ball to Bateman. So even if he's not open. So that, yeah, let's move on. So I kind of went through the NFL really quick and just thought, you know, who are some teams that might need a running back? Some of these I've got a question mark by, because you could argue that they don't. This all depends on what you think of their current roster. And then other teams, I think it's a big fat exclamation point. And I just went straight down the divisions. You know, Buffalo, I don't know where you sit on the whole Zach Moss fence. I feel like he's one of the most debated running backs in all the NFL. I personally think he's just a guy.
I wasn't a huge Zach Moss fan coming into the draft, and I'm still not a huge Zach Moss fan. He's a Jag for me, so definitely Buffalo.
Yeah, and Singletary is the perfect change of pace second guy. He's just not an every down back. He doesn't have the size for it, but he absolutely should have you know, fantasy relevance. I, again, don't understand why they don't throw him the ball. That could be just the scheme. But anyway, Miami, you know, unless you think Myles Gaskin is the next, you know, late round sleeper, I think there's a need there. Jordan Howard's clearly just a filling guy. I mean, hell, they weren't even playing him until Gaskin got hurt. So there's an opportunity. The Patriots, as much as I hate having a running back in New England, because you never know when the next Rex Burkhead 150 yards and three touchdowns is going to come from. You know, it's an opportunity because nobody stands out. Although Harris is looking pretty good.
I got to admit, I was a huge Sony Michel fan when he came into the NFL, and him going to New England has left me bitter about New England running backs.
Yeah, good point. They've killed them. The big one is the Jets. I mean, talk about an opportunity, right? That and look at where they're sitting in the draft. You know, they're gonna take Trevor Lawrence 101. They're gonna get rid of Gase as their coach, and then they're gonna sit with a high second round pick.
Here's a real possibility. Are we gonna see Trevor Lawrence at 101? They get rid of Adam Gase, and are we gonna pair him back up with his college running back Travis Etienne?
Oh, I like that. That's one of those deals where
that's the take of the season right there.
Well, and honestly, this is one of those deals where if you could instantly bet on something, like just randomly, I want to put money on the fact that the Jets are going to draft both Travis Etienne and Trevor Lawrence. Like, what would be the odds and the payout of that? I mean, they're you know, Vegas puts money on everything, so there probably is a way to do that. I don't gamble a ton, but yeah, God, that would be fun. I'm openly now rooting for that. That's awesome. Pittsburgh's another team that could need one. I mean, I'm not a Connor guy at all. So I think they could, you know, I've heard the name Najee Harris going to Pittsburgh, and oh, that would be just a beautiful marriage, wouldn't it? Pittsburgh loves to run those running backs. Ugh. I get a little chill.
I'm a little higher on James Connor than I think most people, but yeah, I mean, they could easily. I mean, you saw what they did to Le'Veon Bell. Like, I don't see any reason why they wouldn't do the same thing to James Conner and keep drafting a new running back. I mean, they do that at the wide receiver position all the time, right? Between, you know, say, was it Santonio Holmes, then Antonio Brown, then Juju, and now it's, who knows, it's Deontay Johnson or Chase Claypool. You know, depending on the week, it's either one of them. So, I mean, they're not afraid to draft a new understudy and move on from a guy that they've used the past few seasons.
Exactly, and I don't think we've not seen anything from Snell or McFarland to suggest that they don't need to go out and find one. Houston is absolutely on the list. I'm not a David Johnson guy. I mean, God, is that a terrible trade? But can you imagine, you know, looking at that 2021 list, you know, somebody like Jamar Jefferson or Kenneth Gainwell or, you know, any of these next tier bubble guys that could move into the second or third round. I see a lot of potential there. I mean, they've got the passing game already. So it's just like, can they finally get a running back that's going to be fantasy worthy?
I could even see somebody like Chuba Hubbard slipping to Houston, you know, bringing that speed to that offense. That offense already likes to move around with the ball. Deshaun Watson likes to move out of the pocket, and they like those speedy guys. I mean, we see it in Will Fuller. Could they add Chuba Hubbard to the mix too?
Yeah, my concern there is their offensive line when it comes to blocking isn't the greatest, and I'd rather see them get a guy that's a little more dynamic as far as finding yards on his own. But Denver, you know, they have Gordon, I think, on another year of his deal, but you know, those deals are worth about as much as the paper they're written on. So, you know, they get out of that, and I could see Denver going. The Chargers is another one.
I got to say, that's where I disagree with you. I'm an Austin Ekeler guy. I like him a whole lot. I think he's that running back's that running back room's main guy.
And that's why I've got a question mark, because I could see them getting a guy later that would be the guy to pair with Ekeler. Because you're right, Ekeler is absolutely good. That said, he's never really proven to be the guy for an entire season. So until that happens, I'm going to say they might find a second guy to split with them. So that
I will
see them finding a bruiser type later that slips into maybe round four. That kind of a thing.
I will say he's the pass catching back for that offense. They do need a bruiser. How would you like to see Javonte Williams for the Chargers?
There you go. Look at that. Yep. That would be a great pairing, especially the way that offense is clicking now with Herbert. Man, do they look good. Chicago Bears, David Montgomery is the classic Bears, just a guy running back. You know, he's fitting in perfectly, you know, for Jordan Howard. I mean, it's almost like he's a clone. I mean, he's okay, but I don't think he would be the guy that would stand in your way of drafting, you know, the right guy to step in and take over if somebody falls to them. And then the next one, in my opinion, is maybe one of the two best is Atlanta. I mean, that offense is just screaming for a young, good running back. And, you know, stop bringing in these old guys. Gurley is just Gurley.
He's a stopgap.
Right. Yep. And I guess it made sense. I mean, they weren't going to be competitive. So Tampa Bay, they keep throwing these, you know, third round picks at guys and they keep not impressing. So I have a question mark there, but I could see them going. Arizona. I mean, find a Kenneth Gainwell in that offense. Whew, that could be exciting, or somebody of that nature. Or, you know, even a bruiser too, to kind of pair with Chase Edmonds. I don't think Kenyon Drake's anything. San Francisco, we always want to see a big name in San Francisco, and then they continue to have about five more running backs on roster than anyone else, and B, that's because they get more injured running backs than anyone else. But man, the way they block and their scheme, if they had a running back just get like 65-70% of the carries, wow, would love that. And then Seattle's the last one. I don't know how long Carson can hold on, and the rest of the guys again are just guys. So, you know, they've proven they're going to be a great fantasy running back place if a guy takes over and can stay healthy. So
yeah, absolutely. You know, San Francisco, just going back on that, you know, San Francisco, they're a team that may need a running back, but they're always somebody that, like, you're happy to see a running back go there, but you're not happy to see a running back go there too, because, okay, which one do I pick now? Which one is going to get the look this game as opposed to next game? And then heading on Seattle, like, I just feel like Chris Carson, we say it every year where they're going to draft a running back and Chris Carson's not going to do anything anymore. And then he just continuously has great seasons. He gets injured every now and then, but he continuously puts together good seasons. So I don't see a way where they just don't keep Chris Carson along and just let him do his thing. But yeah. I mean, there's a lot of room for running backs coming in, man.
Yeah, I mean, you start looking at it, and the way teams recycle them constantly, there is just constant opportunity. So, you know, that's it for our show sheet today. After the season, we'll kind of do a review of our final rankings at all these positions. We'll get into other positions before then, but just to let everyone know, that's kind of what we're planning for, you know, the off season, which hopefully doesn't come for a while yet. And we'll do that next week. We're going to hope to have more of a general Devy campus to Canton college football discussion, and hopefully the return of Master Yoda. We've been searching for him in Dagobah, haven't found him, but there's rumors that he may resurface. So I am using my full powers of the Force to make that happen. Matt, tell us, you know, quickly, final thoughts, and where can people find you and your work?
So always good to be back, you know, doing this with you, Skip. It's weird doing it here on a college football Saturday in the midst of games, but I was glad to be on it and talk some football with you. Lots of great running backs available. You know, some guys that we just nearly missed, keep an eye out on. They can sneak into the conversation. Lots of good guys we talked about, some we didn't talk about. So hopefully you keep an eye on some of these guys and are able to get some shares in your Devy leagues. As far as where to find me, you guys can find me on Twitter at @DHH_Matt. My rankings are also available on Dynasty Nerds. I'll do some YouTube work with the Fantasy Authority when I can. Recently had an article on Zach Wilson, a player profile on Zach Wilson, drop on Dynasty Nerds. If you haven't seen that yet, love for you to check that out. And the Dynasty Nerds Devy team just recently dropped an early way too early super flex and one QB mock draft. So if you want to look at some of these guys that maybe you should keep an eye on, you know, you're not doing so well in your leagues, you're looking forward to next season and the draft picks, we've already got you covered on that topic as well.
Nice. I love it. And it's never too early for mock drafts. Absolutely never too early. I love it. Also, speaking of Shaq, he's at Dynasty Tools on Twitter, does some editing at Dynasty Nerds and co-host of the Dynasty Tools podcast when he has time. We are part of the Dynasty Happy Hour team of podcasts with Tim Keller, Doug Ennie, and Tyler Gunther on the Dynasty Happy Hour every other Sunday. Then the off weeks, it's Chasing the Points. The DHH contractor, Randy, a.k.a. Memphis, at DFF Memphis, does his shows breaking down roadmaps for success for your Dynasty teams. And then the IDP Power Hour, when we get two new hosts to do that, looking to bring that back. Yeah, my name is Skip Newton, at SkipNewton31. Would love to hear any feedback, reviews, what you'd like us to cover. We're open to all that. Let us know. If you disagree with our tiers, you know, throw it at us. Let's have a conversation. It's always fun to discuss that with every one of you. I know we had a guy, you know, ping kind of the community today on Twitter about, I'm in a CDC league, I don't know what I'm doing, help me out. And he just got a ton of people, you know, added him, you know, to say, hey, these are all people that can help. So, you know, feel free to reach out. We're more than happy to give you a hand. I also cover the ACC for the Dynasty Draft Room. I've got a DJ Uyungle meeting article coming either today or tomorrow. So I'm just wrapping that up. I was working on it right before the podcast and I'm almost done. Just got to kind of give it the once over and then submit that one for posting. So really, really pleased to get that one out there. And as always now, I want to do my final thank you / appreciation. And I'm choosing Russ Fisher this week at Dynasty Outhouse. For those of you that don't know Russ or at Dynasty Outhouse, first of all, what rock have you been living under? Because this guy hosts like 16 different podcasts. I mean, he's everywhere. The dude is legit. He's such an awesome podcaster. But he did a solo pod this week just talking about his own personal history, his battle with cancer and his victory over cancer and how that's impacted him and how fantasy football has become his religion and how much he enjoys talking fantasy football and being in leagues with all of us and all of you. I'm in a couple of leagues with him and he's just an all around great guy. He co-hosts, you know, his main podcast, the Trade Addicts Pod with Brian Hart, also another awesome dude and probably can commiserate in our college football suffering since he's a big Penn State fan and they are not doing well like my Gophers. But just wanted to say, Russ, you're a pleasure to know and to be in leagues with. So thank you for that. And to the rest of you, I hope you have an awesome weekend. Be a good human.